Someone once said that tough times do not last, but tough people do. The text we read this morning and the rest of that chapter reveals to us that same statement, but in a different way. It would tell us that tough times do not last, but people who have faith in the Lord, they do. We can outlast the storms of life, and in Acts chapter 27, we see an example of that. And it gives us a little insight onto how to do that. Paul's journey to Rome was filled with danger and the potential for destruction. As they sailed toward Rome, their ship was engulfed in the waves. A storm called Euroclydon, which we would call a nor'easter, was bearing down upon them, and they were being tossed about. And in verse 20, there was one point at which they all expected to die at sea. And if you look at verse 20, notice the wording there. It says, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. All hope that we should be saved. That would include the Apostle Paul, but who wrote that? Who wrote the book of Acts? We know that Luke was the author of the book. We know it from many resources, but in verse 1, he said that he was writing this to most excellent Theophilus, and if you go back to Luke 1 and verse 3, you find that he had written that and addressed it to most excellent Theophilus, the same person. But we know it was Luke, and Luke was with Paul, so Luke and Paul were on that ship together, and here are these two men of God who said that all hope had been lost. And so if it could happen to them, it could happen to anyone. And so I believe that it's important that if we look at their experiences and the way things progressed and how they did overcome the storm and were delivered from it, that there are a lot of things that we can learn, a lot of principles at least that we can learn. Because as we journey toward heaven, we're going to face some stormy seas. Sometimes the sailing is smooth. In verse 13, it was for them when the south wind blew softly. Supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. It seems like sometimes that the sailing will be smooth, but most of the time it's not. Verse 14, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Sometimes the storms that hit our lives and affect our lives rock the very foundation upon which we stand. Sometimes we just don't know which way to turn, and sometimes we feel that all hope is lost. But Luke was wrong, and Paul was wrong. And if we feel that way every time some challenge comes to our life, we're wrong as well. And in their life, and in this instance, we can see this. The good thing is there is help for every Christian that is sailing through the seas of life, even when they are stormy seas. So this morning, let's take just a moment and look at what happened with Luke and with Paul and with those other souls that were on that ship, and let's see how that we can outlast the storms of life. Stormy times are times of despair, or at least they can be. And the reason they can be is because they are times of deception. Verse 13, well, everything's good. The wind is blowing softly. Even though it was the wrong time of year to sail, this was the time of year when storms would develop upon the Mediterranean. But they thought that they would beat this last one. They would make it. We thought the snow was over with too, didn't we? The winds blew rather softly Thursday night, but then Friday night was rough. It was in Mississippi. I think it probably was here too. But Thursday night, if you didn't have forecasting, you would never have believed what happened by Sunday morning. Over there where I was, in one part of the county, there were 6 inches of snow. Never saw that one coming. But stormy times are times of deception. And the reason that they are is because when everything is going fine, and when there are no problems, we are lulled into complacency. We get to the point that we think, well, nothing's ever going to happen. We're fooled into believing that the storms will never come. But the Bible says something totally differently. In Job 14, verse 1, Job said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also, and as a shadow continueth it not. He said, again, in chapter 5 and verse 7 of that book, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Well, if you've ever built a fire, stood around a campfire, you know that the sparks are going to fly upward. That's the only direction they're going to go when they're coming from the heat of the fire. And Job said, just as sure as those sparks will rise upward when you build that fire, there are going to be problems. You're going to face issues in life. In John 16, remember that Jesus said, these things that I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So when things are going good, when things are going well, we might be deceived into thinking that everything is going to be just fine, but then disaster strikes. Verses 14 through 17, this tempestuous wind came. They were trying to save the ship. They were putting ropes or cords, verse 17, under the ship so that it would hold together, so that it wouldn't literally just break to pieces by the waves and the wind. And they were expecting disaster. And they were expecting to lose their lives. Well, what happens when disasters come our way? You say, what are you talking about? Well, what about when you go to the doctor and you don't get the report that you wanted? What about when the person that has promised to love you and to put you above all others and to be faithful and true to you, that person leaves and doesn't come back? What about financial problems? What about jobs being lost? One of the blessings we have out of all of the problems we've had is that there are jobs everywhere. A fellow was saying the other day, well, I can't find a job. Another man turned to him and said, well, it's because you're not looking. They're everywhere. It might not be what you want. But what about when you lose your job? What about when you have physical problems? What about emotional problems? We don't often talk about emotional problems or depression for whatever reason and for whatever the cause might be. But those are storms that come to our life. Those are things that slow us down, that hurt us. You know, in our world, when we think a disaster is coming, we can make preparation. We might go out and buy a storm shelter. We have early warning devices, apps on your cell phone, sirens in the community. We know that if something has been seen and we know there is imminent danger, we can evacuate. We can leave. There used to be evacuation route signs up on some of the highways down going to Browns Ferry. And so there are things we can prepare for. There are things that we can do. And spiritually, there are things we can prepare for as well. But we need to know, and we do know, and realize that disasters can come to our life. And Paul knew. Paul warned these sailors not to go. They chose to go anyway. There's also the time for decision. When the storm does come, there's some decisions that have to be made. We need to make sure that we make preparation. We need to take an inventory of our life and discard anything that we don't need to help us on the road to heaven. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, Paul said, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look at the things which are seen, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are what? They are eternal. In Hebrews 12, the Hebrews writer there says that we should lay aside every weight which would slow us down, which doth easily beset us, which would slow us down. So one of the things that we learn, and we learn from what they did on this trip, is that sometimes we need to get rid of the things that are in the way, get rid of the things that hinder us. Oh, they were going to throw over the tackling of the ship. They were eventually, after they had eaten, they were going to throw over their food. Why did they do that when they were nearing some land? Well, because the more weight that was in that ship, the deeper that ship would ride in the sea. And when they got close to a rocky shoreline, the higher they could get the hull of that boat to float, the better off it would be, the safer they would be from the rocks, the closer they would get to shore before they would encounter the rocks. And that's why some of the sailors were going to try to get away in the lifeboats, because the lifeboat would float really high in the water where the ship didn't. And they thought that in the lifeboats they would have a better chance. But the Lord had spoken to Paul, and Paul knew something better. There can be times of desperation. In verse 20, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. And I emphasize again, this was Luke, the author of the book. And he was speaking for himself and everyone that was there, which would include the Apostle Paul. When there is no daylight in your darkness, you may get to the place where you just want to lay down and die and give up. But the fact is that the sun will rise again. And in the sunlight, we'll see things more clearly. And we can outlast the storms of life. Number two, stormy times are times of danger. Look at verse 21. Here's where things began to change. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened to me." I love that. That's a nice way of saying, "I told you so." Paul said, "You should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss." I want to bring something else up too. Paul had told them in the beginning, "I perceive that there's going to be much harm both to lives and to the ship." Paul didn't know. Paul thought people were going to die. In verse 20, there was all hope had been lost. But something changes. He said, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer," verse 22, "for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee.'" Paul was a prisoner, but it was only because of him that those people's lives was going to be spared. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. And when the 14th night was come, as they were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast out 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day." And we'll stop there for just a moment. Well, they had some choices to make. Here's Paul, a prisoner. We've got a captain of a ship. We've got people that were experienced in sailing on that sea and experienced and responsible for that vessel. And here we've got Paul, a prisoner, who is telling them what to do. But they listened to him, and it was wise. It was a wise thing they did and listened to him. Stormy times that we encounter in life have the potential either to make us or to break us. They will either drive us closer to God or they will drive us further away. Have you ever thought about a vine that's growing up on the side of a tree? If the wind is blowing strongly and it's blowing from one direction, the tree shields the vine from the wind. But if it's blowing from the opposite direction, what does the wind do? It drives the vine closer to the tree. So the closer that vine stays to the tree, the more protection it has. And Paul is telling these people, the closer you stay to the Lord, the more protection you will have. In their case, it was a physical protection, but there's also a spiritual protection. The closer we stay to the Lord, the less impact these storms will have on us. But it's our choice. The potential is there, but it becomes very personal. In Job chapter 1, you think about what Satan was trying to do. Satan was trying to destroy Job. And as he squeezed on Job and tried to squeeze out every bit of trust and faith he had in it, it was as though Job turned around and shouted in Satan's face. But when all of these things, these terrible things had happened to him, he said in chapter 1, verse 20, after he had arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down on the ground, it says he worshiped. He had just lost his children. He had lost his flocks and his herds. He lost everything. He fell on the ground and worshiped God. Here's a man, when the winds of adversity blew, they pressed him closer to God, not farther away. He said, "Naked came I out from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job was basically saying, if it wasn't for the Lord, I wouldn't even be alive. If it wasn't for the Lord, I wouldn't have had children. I've been blessed because of the Lord. He knows it's up to him. It's his decision. I have no control over these things. He didn't understand. And he would later ask some very pointed questions, and the Lord would answer them in a very pointed way. But it was personal. Job's wife said, "Why dost thou now maintain thine integrity? Curse God and die." And Job said, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh." He wasn't calling all women foolish. He was saying that would be a foolish thing that a woman would say. That is a foolish thing. Why, after losing all of his material things, he could see his children again? He was offered, it was one of them's birthday, and he would offer sacrifices, the Bible said, so that if they had sinned against the Lord, so that as he was the representative for the family, a patriarch, he offered sacrifices for the family. And so he offered those sacrifices so his children would be in a right relationship with God. He knew that he could see them again. God had given him life. God could take it away. God had given life to his children. He could have allowed that tornado to hit that house. It says it was struck from all four corners. What kind of wind does that? A tornado does that. I couldn't guarantee it was a tornado. But that's what it's describing. But he lost his children. So he's got two options. But it was personal. It was personal for him. When he was pressured by life, he turned to God. He didn't turn against him. Against him. Simon Peter gives us the example of what we ought not do. Peter boasted and bragged, "Lord, I will never deny thee. If I have to die with thee, I will never deny thee." Jesus said, "No, before the cock crows, you'll deny me thrice." But, "Oh, no, Lord, never. That'll never happen. Never do it." And when Satan started to squeeze on Peter, when he began to be pressed by the problems of life, and all it was a maid saying, "You're one of his disciples." Peter denied Jesus. "Lord, I will die with you." Peter, you didn't even get close. You denied him when somebody accused you of being one of his disciples. So you see, a storm came to the life of Peter, and he had two choices, and he obviously made the wrong one. But it was personal. And it's a practical choice. It all comes down to whom or to what you look in times of trouble. If we think that another person can solve all of our problems, they might can solve a lot of them. If we think they can solve them all, we're making a mistake. If we think that we can control life and that we can make everything work out the way that we want to by our own strength and wisdom, we're making a mistake. Paul and Luke together, verse 20, thought that their lives were going to be lost. All hope had been lost. But it was only when that message came from the Lord and when they turned back to the Lord that they realized things are going to be okay. And Paul had such confidence, he told them, "Look, you haven't eaten in several days." I think he says 14 days. "You need to eat something. You need to gain your strength." Why? Well, they're going to have to swim to shore for one reason. They were going to have strength to throw things overboard. He told them they needed to do it for their health. But stormy times are times of danger because of all of this. But they're also times or provide for times of deliverance. And this is where we want to focus our attention this morning. Here's some positive help for us from this passage. Verse 29 again. "Fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day." I want to emphasize the four anchors. We'll come back to it. "As the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship," they were going to pretend to cast out those anchors, but they were letting the lifeboats down. They were getting out of there. Because that ship sat so deep into the water, and as they were getting close to that rocky shore, a lifeboat would get a lot closer before it was damaged. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." I don't know if he was up there watching what they were doing or if the Lord helped him to see that or whatever, but he did see it. He did know what was happening. So the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall. It was the shipmen that were about to flee, and the soldiers said, "Oh, not so fast." And they are the ones that cut the ropes. While the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take on food or meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore, I pray you to take some food, for this is for your health. For there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you." And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. I wonder how many of them besides Luke would ever stop before they ate a meal and give thanks unto the Lord. Paul took an opportunity to not only do what was right, but to be a great example and to teach some others. Verse 36, "Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some food or some meat. And we were all in the ship," Luke including himself again, 260 souls. Doesn't that add up to 276? I believe it does, doesn't it? This wasn't a small boat. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoised up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, we would describe that as something like a peninsula, an extension of land. They ran the ship aground, and the fore part stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. If you think about it, here is a ship with ropes all around it to hold it together, on top of the fact that it was undoubtedly built very well, and the waves were bad enough that it would destroy the ship. It would just beat it to pieces. And you think about how long they had been. We know 2 weeks. You think about how long they had been in that kind of a storm. That would wear you out and wear you down emotionally. How do you put up with that? It gives us some indication as to how bad the storm was. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners lest any of them should swim out and escape. Why? Because if they lost one, they would be executed. And so they're thinking, 270 people, I don't know how many of them were prisoners, but you know, we don't know. One of them might get away, and if one gets away and it ever gets back, we're going to die. So let's just kill them. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea, and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And it came to pass when they escaped, all safe to land. See, they had their own life preservers there. Boards, broken boards from the ship. What is the positive from this? The first thing we find in verse 29, the second part of that is to get anchored. Paul tells us that they put out 4 anchors out of the ship. They anchored the ship, but in verse 29, they were still afraid. They were afraid lest they would have fallen upon the rocks. But Paul wasn't afraid. We just read what he said to them, the confidence that he had in the Lord, knowing that they were going to be delivered. He was anchored much deeper than that boat was. He was anchored much higher than that boat was. His anchor was his faith in God. There are some anchors that will hold us in any storm, and that is, first of all, the presence of God. The Bible says, "For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." The Bible tells us that God will not allow us to be tempted above. That doesn't mean tested or tried, but it means tempted. It says tempted. He will not allow us to be tempted above that we are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. The Lord certainly provided a way of escape for them. Have you ever gone back and looked at the problems that have affected your life and then looked at God's providence and how that there were many times when things could have gone so wrong, so badly, but they didn't? There are some of those times when you can't explain it on your own. You just don't know. It's not that there was a miracle that happened, but you can obviously see God's hand of providence in what happened in saving your life or in saving the life of someone else. So God's presence, God's promises. In Romans 4 and verse 21, God's promises are steadfast and true. Paul wrote to Titus about God who cannot lie. So when God makes a promise, it's going to come true. We look at the providence of God in the overall working of our lives. God was working out his providence in Paul's life, and he's going to do the same in ours. If we let him, the choice is ours. It's up to us to choose how we will respond to the storms that come our way. In verse 44, we read about the performance of God in this specific instance. Everyone made it safely to the shore. Paul had to get to Rome, and there was no reason for other lives to be lost. What we see, and we see from Romans 8 and verse 28, is that God is able to work things out. God is able to work things out. We may not understand. I guarantee you Job didn't. Jeremiah didn't understand. Elijah didn't understand. Peter didn't always understand. The apostles didn't always understand. If they did, then John 14, 1 through 4 wouldn't be in our Bibles. So there are times that we don't understand. But are we going to let the wind, are we going to hang so loosely that the wind can get to us and blow us away? Like that vine from the tree? Or are we going to be close enough to God and tied to Him so securely and tightly that we refuse to let the winds and the storms of life tear us away from them, but instead let them blow us closer and increase our faith? So we need to be anchored to God. We need to accept the storm. We need to accept the storm. What do I mean by that? Well, these sailors listened to Paul and they ate and they went on with their lives. There just comes a time when we have to surrender our will to the Lord's. There just comes a time when we have to say enough is enough and go on with our lives and do what we need to do and be a servant every single day. We can bend under the Lord's hand or He can break us. Paul and Luke and the centurion and these others, they were willing to bend under the Lord's hand to do what the Lord told them to do, and it resulted in their salvation. And I believe it will for ours too. We sing that song, "Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Anywhere He leads me in this world below." I think Paul could have sung that. It wasn't written in his day, but I think Paul would have sung that song. I think Peter would have sung that song. We sing the song. We need to think about it. We need to make sure that we mean it when we sing it. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 6, we are reminded that we might not like what's going on, but we need to submit to God in it. Peter said, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and He shall exalt you in good time." James 4 and verse 10, "Humble yourselves, therefore, in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up." Number three, we need to await our deliverance. Their storm ended, and ours will too. I don't know that it's going to end in this world or in the world to come. I don't know if it will be on this shore or on another shore, but whether or not, our storm will end. And if we have held close to the Lord, whether it ends here or whether it ends there, we will be with the Lord. So as those winds push and try to twist and try to hurt us, pull us away, as Satan tries to squeeze us with the pressures of life, we learn from what happened to Paul and Luke and everyone else that was on that ship that there is a time to put our trust in the Lord, and that those and that problems will one day end. Your sea may be rough this morning. The one thing I want you to notice from this reading, and the one thing that I want you to encourage you to think about and to remember, is that your storm one day will end, whatever it is. And we need to remind each other of that. And we need to realize that by setting our anchor, being anchored to the Lord, accepting the storm and awaiting our deliverance and putting our trust in Him, we will have more peace as we approach the coming end of that storm. The Lord already knows what you're facing, whatever it is. I don't know what it is. Your parents may not know what it is. Your children may not know what it is as it applies to you. Your husband or your wife may not even know what it is. It may be external. It may be internal. I don't know what storms you are facing this morning. But the Lord does. And He's waiting on you to either first put your trust in Him or to continue trusting in Him. Because one day He will bring that storm to an end, whatever it is. It may be in this world and it may be in the world to come, but there's a lot to be said about being with the Lord. Storms are going to come. How will you respond to them? If you've never become a Christian, why not go ahead and seek the protection and the hope that you can have in the midst of the storm? The storms are going to come anyway. Why go through life worried about all of these things with no hope? If you really believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He died on the cross for your sins, and you're willing to turn away from sin in repentance, confess your faith in Christ, and be buried with Him in baptism, the Bible tells us that Christ will add you to the church, and that heaven can be your home, and that if we're faithful unto death, heaven will be our home. That as Christians, we will make mistakes, but when we pray and when we repent of those things and confess our sins before God, that He will forgive us of those things. That can give you peace, because see, the storms can either make you or break you. That's up to us. The Lord knows where you're at right now. He knew where Paul and Luke were at. According to verse 20, emotionally, it was not a very good place. But He knew what they would do when He gave them the tools, the information. God has given us the tools and the information to make it through our life and to make it through our storms. And He'll bring us safely to the other shore, whether it be here or whether it be there. If you're going to have problems anyway, why not have the hope that one day when they end, it will have been worth it? If you've never obeyed the gospel, if you need to come back home, would you come as we together we stand and as we sing?